Open your Bibles, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. I don't think I've bit off more than I can chew tonight, but I've been wrong so many times that we'll just have to see tonight. I want to cover this passage because I believe it is a gift, a package that's wrapped with a bow from God, and I want us to see it that way. I think I'm going to do a little bit of this in Romans, that I'm going to do some overview messages so that when we get into the minutiae and the dregs of the detail, we don't get and miss the big picture. So I think that's where we're headed. But let's just look at Romans chapter 7. The title of the message tonight is The Inward Man versus the Flesh. And so let's look at this great passage. Remember, Romans chapter 6, we are dead to sin. Those that are born again, you're a believer in Christ. You no longer have to live in sin. You're dead to sin. You can have victory over sin. But we'll see that there's a battle. And then we're dead to the law. We're not under the law. That doesn't mean we're lawless. It just means that we are not put under bondage where our life becomes a list of rules. I was blessed today. I was given a tract. And when the person handed me a tract, they said, "I don't want you to be offended." I said, "Oh, I won't be offended." I thought I knew what they believed, and I knew it wasn't quite what we believed. And it is the epitome of what it means to live under the law. Now, this track, I mean, if you want the best track I've ever seen that's an exhaustive look at any possible sin that you might be involved in, except for sins that I thought, you know, you could have expanded it. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good, and we ought to avoid those. But the thought of this track was, and they had a prayer at the end, right? And you could see by their prayer, one of the prayers was, you know, as part of, you know, a salvation prayer that it had there, was that God would give them victory completely over sin. And now it said some things that were true, that if you sin, you should repent. Yes. But is that because you're worried about losing your salvation or going to hell? No. But this track would indicate that. And it's just, that's bondage. That's bondage. But you're going to learn something tonight that if you misunderstand it, it'll destroy you. But if you understand it, it'll be refreshing to you. It'll be good. Let's read Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. Your head might be spinning by the time we're done, but I hope we can parse it out, and it will be just a good meal for you tonight. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I," Paul speaking here, "but I am carnal, sold under sin." We'll explain this. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me," this is the big deal, this parenthesis, "that is, in my flesh." We'll help you grasp that. Verse 18, "For I know that in me," that is, "in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me." I want to do what's right, is what he's saying there. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And if you could, he doesn't put this, but he could put another parenthesis, "that is, in my flesh." I think you could put that in verse 20 as well. Verse 21, "I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after," this is important, "the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And the answer is in verse 25. It's always the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the answer. "So then with the mind," and this is the spiritual mind, "so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Tell a message tonight again, the inward man versus the flesh. I want you to understand a truth, and it's very delicate, right? I've heard, and respectable people, we can disagree, so I'm not here to trash anyone that might not agree with this. I believe Paul was speaking in the present tense here about his real battle with the flesh, the new man, and the old man. I believe it's real. I believe it's... I've been challenged to review this about what is true, because when I've heard that, this isn't talking about a Christian. And I'm like, well, then maybe I'm not a Christian, because I am like, I relate to this passage. If there was going to be a passage that was, you know, stamped on my forehead, it would be this passage. I declare to you tonight, I want to honor Jesus Christ. That is sincere. That is the real Steve. Oh, I want to honor Jesus. Anybody that knows me knows I struggle. But I want to tell you this. Caleb, I do love Jesus. I'm a flake. I'm pathetic. I want to honor him. And I'm telling you this. I am going to go down, you know, when I'm toothless, I'm going to be fighting the flesh. Right? Until God calls me home, I'm not done fighting. You know, I'm going to battle it because I want to honor Jesus Christ. But oh, this passage is so refreshing. It's the old man. The old man, if you want to hear this, the old man, it is that would be the flesh, the new man, the inward man, walking in the spirit would be walking in the new man, walking in the flesh would be walking in the old man. Understand this. So I'll try to explain this. If you're a Christian today, you're a schizophrenic. So now I'm going to explain this to your children in the front row, because first, I will only answer what a schizophrenic is if you know how to spell it. I don't think I'm going to be answering that. Zach, no, somebody will have a stupid phone and I'll be paying $100. I ain't saying anything. I almost said, if you knew, I'm not, you're not doing that to me tonight. How did these get up there, right? I don't know. It's that flesh. But so I want you to know, when you're schizophrenic, what that means is you have like two personalities, right? Almost like two people living within you. And that's not a good thing in the way we talk about it today, but here's the reality. There is my flesh, that's the old man, and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. My flesh was never good. My flesh didn't change when I got saved. My flesh didn't suddenly become a partner with me. My flesh didn't say, yippee-yay, let's serve Jesus. My flesh says, whoa, no, Steve, look over here. You know, and I am a sucker fish. I'm like, oh, and I bite all the time, you know. So if you saw me spiritually, there'd be holes all in my lip. But thankfully, the Lord Jesus takes out the hook every time and says, I'll let you try again. I bite, takes out the hook. You'd think I would learn. I'm just a stupid fish. But I want you to know there is a battle. There is a battle. We're going to look at two things tonight. And we're going to look at the inward man. And the inward man is the real believer. Now, I want you to know this. When Paul talked about himself, he talked about himself like, you know, when you talk about Steve Hall, you don't think of my soul. You think of what I look like. When I think of, you know, Noah, I think of what you look like, right? And so that's okay. When Paul says me, most of the time here, he's speaking about his flesh. And so I want you to understand, the real Steve is the saved Steve. Now, I'm going to take you to some passages. I want you to understand this. The real Steve is the saved Steve. That's the real believer. And so I want to take you to some passages. I'm going to try to help you understand some things. I want you to just, you know this passage, but I want you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I have a feeling I may not get through all of this. It's an epiphany when I'm like, oh boy, because I want you to grasp this. This is a beautiful passage, and I want you to understand this in its fullest, most understandable way, because if you don't understand it, it can be discouraging, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, Therefore, if any man, talking about mankind, man or woman, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you're saved, right? You're either in your sin or you're in Christ. If you die in your sin, you will face the judgment of God eternally in the lake of fire. If you die in Christ, you are safe. You are secure. You are in the Beloved. You're in Christ. That's how you want to die. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you're saved, you're born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And, you know, those that are the most recent believers in this room, you know that that changes, right? And that, you know, people that come on Sunday night, right? It's like, whoa. And so now it's just part of your life. The Lord is part of your life. You're telling people about Jesus, whether they make fun of you or not. All things become new. I want to tell you this. All things become new. Behold, it says, behold, old things are passed away. That's in the past, and we are dead to sin. That's true, but you still have this old man. All things have become new. And I want you to understand that. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. I meet so many people, they tell me they're a Christian, and I simply ask them this. I'll say, well, did anything change? And I'm not, don't overblow this, but something changed, didn't it? Don't you now desire to live for Jesus? Don't you now desire to read the Bible? Doesn't sin bother you in a different way? Lost people have a conscience. Lost people have a conscience. I am not talking tonight. I'm really not. I'm not talking about an angel on one shoulder and a little mini devil on another shoulder. I'm not. I don't think that really represents what I'm talking about. I am talking about the stinking old Steve. Right, that never did anything right and was always conniving, was always working the system. And now, when I'm doing right, when I'm walking in the Spirit, I am working for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm striving to serve Him. But I have a major battle. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just right back one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. It says this, 2 Corinthians 4:15, 16 says, for all things are for your sakes. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, his second inspired letter. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. The outward man would be the flesh. Our outward man will perish. Our flesh will perish. He says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I want you to understand this. Every day you live, you're one day closer to Jesus. If you're saved. This old body every day is falling apart. Right? And I know some of you youngsters, it's good to be young. I think it's better to be old, at least. I don't know what it's like to really be old. Carl's telling me it's not that awesome. And then Linda's been giving me some amazing feedback with that foot lately, and I'm thinking, you know, Lord, how about 70 sounds good? Just call me home. But, you know, do you guys relate to this? But the outward man, though the outward man perish, falling apart. You know, Carl's told me, he goes, you know, I'm trying to remember. And it's as you get older, it's a struggle, right? I forgot what our conversation was about. This is a joke. But he says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's this battle between the outward man and the inward man. The outward man, the flesh, falling apart. The inward man renewed day by day. I want to take you back to John chapter 11, one of the verses I referred to this morning. I want to see if you just understand what this verse was about. I think you read these verses and you just think, you know, it's just, Jesus was just given, I think Jesus was speaking literally. I want you to understand what he meant literally. Have you guys ever seen, let's just look in the Bible, just John chapter 11, verse 25. So you know this, there's the outward man, there's the inward man, there's the old man, there's the new man, you're a new creature in Christ, you're dead to sin, and so John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, again speaking to Martha, we saw that this morning, the context, right before Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, and that's dead spiritually, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I just stop there. He says this. You see this? And he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe you'll never die? Do you believe you'll never die? Do you believe you'll never die? You're going to die. But is it the real you? See, Paul talks in both ways. He talks like a schizophrenic in Romans chapter 7, doesn't he? I want you to know this. The old man, the outward man, is going to die. That's not the real Steve. When God saved me, he gave me new birth. He gave me new life. I am alive in Christ, and I was given eternal life immediately. And my new man will never die. My new man will separate from this body. And some of you will probably be around unless Jesus comes back. And, you know, you'll fake it. You know, and that's just my body. That's just the outward man. But I want you to know this. Here's the good news. Steve didn't die. I'm more alive than ever before. I mean, so when you see this, I want you to understand, well, what does Jesus mean that he says if you believe in him, you'll never die? The new man will never die. That inward man will never die. That new creature will never die. I want to take you to another passage. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8. 1 John chapter 1, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, right at the end of your Bible, just right before the last book in the Bible, Jude. You'll miss it if you're not thinking. It's one chapter. And then 3rd John, 2nd John, 1st John, if you're going backwards. 1st John chapter 1. Thank you for confusing me. I'm really good at that. The worst thing I can do in life is ask a question. I'm such a double negative asking question guy that when you answer it, I'm not sure what you answered. So my wife always have to say, what did you ask? I'm not sure, what did you think I asked? So I know, you're like, hang around with me and you'll go nuts faster than you would have. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Now I want you to know this too. 1 John is written to believers. It's written to believers. 1 John chapter 1 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Before I give commentary on this, I want you to look over two chapters, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 is written to believers. And I want you, let's just read 1 John chapter 1 again, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, just with that one verse, I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, let me just ask this question. How many of you have been born of God, born again? Raise your hand. That's good. So it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. All right. A lot of hands went up, so I want to ask you this. How many of you born-again believers never sin? Randall, come on down. We'll have an interview. The real you. You see, I want you to understand that. You understand this? So we have responsibility for this flesh, but it's really not me. Did you understand that when we read Romans chapter 7? He goes, you know, the good that I would, I do not, the evil which I would not, that I do. And he's saying, well, it's really not me, it's my flesh. Well, in one aspect, you could say, then that's okay. You'd be like, you know, your parents say, Caleb, did you do this? Nope, my flesh did. Well, I'm spanking your flesh, Caleb. So it is, we're going to bring some discipline to that flesh. So it's not that you can just say, you know, no, I didn't do it. We are going to be responsible for our flesh because we have been given all we need and we are dead to sin. We are dead to the law. We've been given all we need to have victory, but we still have this stinking flesh until we're dead. Now, do you see that? Do you understand that? So let's look at 1 John 3, 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's the new man. I want you to understand this. That's where the holiness go wrong. That's where some Pentecostals go wrong. That's where some charismatics go wrong, that they teach that you can be sinless. The same guy wrote chapter 1 that wrote chapter 3, and he didn't go nuts between the chapters. But he's given us some truth. We need to repent of our sin in this flesh after we're saved. I ask people this all the time. Why do you need to ask the Lord to forgive you? Why do you need to repent of your sins after you've been saved? Because we all know this, when you're saved, He forgives past, present, and future. All your sins have been forgiven. The reason why we need to still ask for forgiveness, it's not in order to be born again, it's in order to reestablish the fellowship with the Father. You know, He'll always be my Papa. He'll always be my Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can separate me from my Father once I'm born again. My sin will break the fellowship, not the relationship. He's my Father permanently, and when He committed to me, it was permanent. He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. But when I sin in this flesh, really not me, see how that goes with God when you're talking about Him, I'm responsible for this flesh. You know, wouldn't it have been great when you were saved that you'd get rid of this flesh? Not really, you'd be dead, okay? So I'm kind of glad I'm alive, that I can live for Jesus. So the plan was, Steve, I saved you, you're now dead to sin, but you still have this flesh, and the flesh is going to be battling against the Spirit. That's the warring that we talk about in Romans chapter 7. So when the Bible, when Jesus says, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Well, your flesh will die, but that's not the real you. The real you is the soul that's looking out of those eyeballs. It's the new man. It's the inward man. It's the new creature that'll never die. And I've got news for you, that never sins. But you're responsible for this flesh. And this flesh, there's not one good thing in it. It never changed. It never desires anything good. And that's our battle. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 7. So the real believer, the inward man, is the real believer. The inward man hates sin. So now let's just go back and let's look at verse 14. I want to walk through so you can see what we're talking about here. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual. What he's saying is, this we're talking some spiritual things here. The law is spiritual, but he says this, but I am carnal, sold into sin. When he says, I am, he's talking about his flesh. His flesh is carnal. He has this carnal, this fleshy part of him, and that's sold under sin, and that never changes. And then he explains in verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. He says, the things that I do, I don't want to do. Then he says, for that I would, for what I would, the things I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I want you to know this, the inward man hates sin. These are going to be defining things for you as a believer, for me as a believer. It's critical. Do you know why we sin? Because we want to. Because we don't hate it, Eric. You know, I hate cooked spinach. Don't try to get me to eat it. We might have a repeat of what happened the last time my parents had me eat it when I was 8 years old. You know, my parents were the kind of parents, and I love this, they said, you will eat what's put in front of you. And then there became a big asterisk at that one time at the dinner table, except for cooked spinach. You never have to eat that the rest of your life. I didn't do it on purpose, but oh, was it a scene. You know, we decided to do, you know, that's I think when like sponge painting came in with green on the walls. It was bad. And so I hate cooked spinach. I love raw spinach. I don't know what the issue is. Somehow when it's cooked, it's like, you know, it's terrible. But so I hate cooked spinach. Do you think I eat cooked spinach, Eric? Now, you nasties, your guys are going to come on over for dinner. Do you know what you just ate? You snakes, you know, so don't do that to me. But, Eric, I'm not going to eat cooked spinach because I hate it. And I think that's okay. You know, I know the Lord's going to make me, you know, the laborer over the cooked spinach field. I'll be like, Lord. He's like, I told you I had a sense of humor. But I hate spinach, and I don't eat it because I hate it. Eric, if we really hated sin, we wouldn't do it. You know, we stay away from things that we hate because we know it's just not good. The reason we sin, we don't hate it. But I want to tell you this. What we need to do is get a hold of this, and we need to understand this. We need to have the mind of God that God hates sin, and the new man hates sin, and I need to be thinking like the new man. Well, you just listen. I'll just take you through some scriptures, and the notes will be online. Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Again, Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's a challenging verse for me. Do I really hate sin? I want to. And so the new man hates sin. I want you to listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 163. It says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Listen to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. I want you to understand this. The inward man hates sin. We need to get a hold of that, the ugliness of sin. And this, believers have struggled with that. You better not misunderstand. Hate the sin, love the sinner. God says, love your enemies. You know what we have a real problem with? We end up hating the people. That is the absolute opposite of what God would instruct us to do. Hate the sin, love the sinner. And be able to hate the sin and the sinner feel loved. Boy, that's the balance, that's the new man. Third thing I want you to see here, third thing is, I want you to see that the new man understands the law is good. Now look at this. Look at verse 15 and 16. This is just so fun once you understand it. It says this, verse 15, for that which I do I allow not. He's like, the things I want to do, I don't do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now verse 16. If then I do not that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. You're like, what? Why would he say that? Because he's not happy that he's not doing what he wants to do. He said, if then I do that which I would not. So he's not doing what he wants to do. He's not doing what the new man would do. He's not doing what would please the Lord. He's not doing what would honor the Lord. He's not walking in the Spirit. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Why would he say that? I want you to understand that. The new man understands the law is good. You know why? You know how you know what's bad? The law. Isn't it good? It's good that when you don't do what you want to do and that you do what you wouldn't want to do, that you know it's wrong because of the law. And so, you know, through all this, Paul says this, I'm glad I have the law because the law reminds me, you didn't do what you said you wanted to do. You didn't do what you really want to do. You did what God wouldn't want you to do. And then, you know what, the law is good because it smites me in my heart and it reminds me that is bad. We can have opinions all day long. If the Bible says it's bad, it's bad. The Bible says it's sin, it's sin. Now, let's not, you know, be a jerk about it, but when the Bible says it, you know, I'm just telling you, it's not that difficult to understand. I know my wife says, it's difficult. It can be in places, but when the Bible says, you know, what sin is, I ask people, I say, let me, I want you to know this. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. How many righteous people are there? Let me repeat this verse one more time. They kind of look at you because they're like, this is a trick question. You know, I'm like, there are none righteous, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so how many righteous people are there on the face of the earth? None. And so that always happens. A voice from out of the background says none. It's like, whoa, it's kind of scary. But so when So that's not difficult. But you know what they had just told me? That they're going to get to heaven by being righteous. And the Bible says none are righteous. And so when the Bible says something's sin, it's sin. Understand this. The law is good. That's how you know what's wrong. And it's frustrating as a Christian. I want you not to live in a life of frustration. These passages are teaching us to live a life of victory. I think Romans chapter 7 at the end here helps you understand you're not alone. You're not going nuts. Because, you know, when we get to church, we're kind of like, I'm the only one struggling. Everybody else says, oh, victory in Jesus. You know, we're marching around the room and hey. You know, we're like, oh, man, they've got it together. They've got it together. Did you bug their car on the way to church? You'd be like, no, they don't. You know, and we shouldn't, you know, be happy about that, but I just want to tell you, I'm not wanting you to be comfortable and wallow in our failures, but I will tell you that we battle this flesh. But understand this, it's a blessing of God that he lets us know when it's wrong. And so, the new man The real man, the inward man, understands the law is good. I want you to see this in verse 22. The inward man delights in the law of God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, I think the law of God here is more broadening, and I think it might, you know, we've talked about this in Sunday school. You know, I think the law of God here is probably dealing with his complete word. And so this, I know this. I tell you this all the time. Don't be feeling guilty. This ought to help you understand. It is, I know everybody in here, every true believer in here, you're like, I'm going to read the Bible more this week. Amen? Absolutely. Every Sunday you go, going to do it. Monday night comes, you're like, oh, I think I have COVID. I'm just so exhausted. I'm going to get tested tomorrow. Lord, you would understand, wouldn't you? I know you would. You're so amazing. You know, and then the next morning we're like, oh, didn't have COVID Tuesday night. COVID, got it again. It's a 24-hour COVID. And that's your flesh. Your flesh, you will never trick your flesh. Hey, we're going to read the Bible. Oh, you tricked me. Your flesh is going to be like, no, 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 no. Your flesh is going to be like, go to sleep. You know, your flesh is going to be fighting you because there's no good thing in your flesh. And so I want you to understand this, but I want you to know this. I believe this with all my heart. Every true believer in this room, you love the Bible. Every believer in this room, you say, I know. Why don't I live it? Why don't I pant after it like a deer panteth after water? Why don't I just thirst after it? Look, I want you to know this. I'm giving you keys. I struggle. I have to discipline myself. That's why I love scheduling time in the Word of God. Schedule it so that you're always glad. I know every true believer in here, you're always glad once you get into the Bible, once you kind of, it's the first 5 minutes. And then you're like, whoa, this is so good. It's sort of like when the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what's interesting? I've just done a little personal survey in my life. You know, it's not like this. It's not like, no, you know, resisting the devil. It's like 3 hours later, you know. Here's my reality in life. If I resist the devil just for a couple minutes, he's gone. I've learned in my life, I'm not putting a time period on it. You'd be like, man, I waited a minute, 23 seconds, and you know, I fell. That's wrong. But I'm telling you my personal experience. When the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, that's James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's amazing how if you just go, no, I'm dead to that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to say that. No, you'll be fine. It's really, we make the battle. And I'll tell you this, you know this, I know. I'm going to read double tomorrow. Work through that. And then in a couple minutes, you'll be glad you're in the Bible. You'll be glad you're in it. I just know this. Here's the question. And I'm not, my preaching is not to make you doubt your salvation, but I just tell you this. Do you love the Bible? The inward man does. And I know the flesh. Oh, the flesh hates it. There's no good thing. I want to. I'm going to do this. Now we're going to talk about the flesh. I'm just going to finish this message tonight. I'm going to tell you this. The flesh is not the real believer. I want to show you just a few verses. It says this. Look at verse 17. He says this. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That is not Paul removing responsibility for his flesh. But it is Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that says this. When I sin, it's really not me. And that is true. That is true. The new man doesn't sin. The old man is dead. My sins have been removed. And somehow this carcass is still filled with sin. And God's given us responsibility. God says, you know how you can honor me? Overcome the flesh. And so verse 17, he says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I want you to know this, that for a true believer in this room, that doesn't give you an excuse. Go, it's not me. I'm just going to go sin and be like, whoa, my flesh partied last night. A true believer will go like, I don't know. I'm bothered. You know? And so look at verse 20. I want you to look at verse 20. He says something similar. He says, now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If you don't understand this passage, you'll be like Paul saying, not my fault. I wish I'd known these passages. My parents, I could have used this to them. I'd go, hey, you know, the old man, he's in that other room. Let him have it. But it wasn't me. It was that old man. See if you can find him. I would have had a ball, you know, but it is. But that's not what God's intending to do here. What he's saying is this. Look, you are going to have a battle. Now, look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Just look at back a couple chapters. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, he says this. This will help you understand all of this, I think. Knowing this, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, that our old man, and what would another word for old man be? The flesh. Okay? The outward man, the old man, the flesh. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's been killed. It's dead. It died with Christ so that I can have victory. I want you to, let's see here. Let me just read Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Just listen to this. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Colossians, we'll get there in chapter 3. He says, put off the old man, put on the new man. It is so, and it is a spiritual and it is a mental exercise that you put off those old deeds, those old habits, that you got to consciously put those off. And when you put off things, you've got to replace them. You see, when you stop sinning, you need to replace it with holiness, right? It's the same concept, right? I mean, you know, it's funny. Maybe you can't tell it, but I grew up where smoking wasn't as, you know, a health issue. Most people don't smoke today, you know. So I used to be around these guys. They'd be like, want a mint? You know, they'd be like, I got like 100,000 of them. Because when they stop smoking, they're like, they had to do something with their mouth, right? It's better than sucking their thumb or something, you know. But you guys know that butterscotch. You ever run around people, I'm like, man alive, could you quit smoking? And gone like peppermint. And you know, so what they do is they were smart enough to know this. I have a habit. Tossing something in my mouth. When they put it off, at least it's peppermint, right? Or butterscotch. I'm like, I think smoking's better. No, I'm just kidding. But it's that whole concept. Put off the old man, put on the new man. So the flesh is not the real believer. Now let's look at this. The flesh leads us to do what we would not. That's verse 15. You see this? For that which I do, I allow not, but what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. You're going to have to spend some time with those verses. They are fantastic verses that you're like, that's like me asking a double negative question, but it's an awesome verse. So I relate to Paul right there. I'm like, you have no idea what he just said, but when you read it slowly, what he's saying is the things I would do, I don't. The things I wouldn't do, that's what I do. And that just frustrates you. Christian, does that not frustrate you? That you leave refreshed on Sunday? And you're going to take the world by storm, and you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and boom, Monday comes. Don't quit. Look at verse 19. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The flesh leads us to do what we would not. I want you to see verse 18. There's nothing good that dwells in our flesh. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, so you know when he's saying me, he's talking about the guy you can see. He says that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I can't find this in the Bible. This is a concept I've mentioned it before in messages. I can't find this in the Bible that says this. They make the old man and the new man like two dogs. And they say, well, you need to starve the bad dog. You need to feed the good dog. And when you starve the bad dog, he'll be like, I just can't go on. That is not Bible, and that is not my personal experience. The old man's like, ready. You know, the old man's like, do you ever get weak? No. You have to mortify me every day. And so, I mean, it's kind of, you know, spiritually, it's gross. It's like, ka, ka, ka. You know, my wife is, what are you doing? I'm killing my flesh, you know. But it is, but that's the picture. I must die daily to my flesh. My flesh, there's no good thing. My flesh never wants what's right. My flesh never wants to honor Christ. My flesh always wants selfishness. My flesh just wants to take a day off. My flesh says, hey, Steve, I got this thing. I am opposed to deep sin. But you deserve a break today. Anybody remember that? That's an old McDonald's commercial. Thank you for that. But, you know, just think of all the commercials, you know, you deserve a break today. At McDonald's, I mean, awesome restaurant, but that's a horrible, horrible thing. You don't deserve a break today. The night cometh when no man can work. You take a day off, we dishonor Christ. Who says you'll be healthy tomorrow? Nothing. You'll wish you'd serve Christ today if you lose your health tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you into anything, but I'm just telling you this, your flesh dwells no good thing. I want you to look at verse 21. Your flesh wars against the Spirit. It says this, let's see here, it is, but look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. He says, but I see another law in my members. These members, I think he'd be talking about his flesh, warring against the law of my mind. Now you have to follow this because sometimes the mind is talked about negatively in the scriptures. Sometimes it's talking about the spiritual mind. I believe this is talking about the spiritual mind. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's like there is a tug of war going on with your flesh. Your flesh wants to pull you into selfishness. Your flesh wants to pull you into just non-eternal behavior, non-eternal thinking. It doesn't have to mean that you're doing whatever people would call the dark sins of the world, right? It just means this. You know one of the saddest things that could ever be said of any believer? Well, they're useless for the kingdom of God. That'd be the worst statement anybody could make. Because you know, all a believer's here to do is be useful for the honor and the glory of the King and His kingdom. So you know, you don't have to be in deep, dark sin, but to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. You see, there's a battle, there's a warring. I tell you this ought to encourage you. It's a little bit scary because new believers, with the new believers, right? I think most of our new believers have been saved long enough to where they realize this, but here's new believers. It's like, oh, you know, sort of like Julie Andrews on, Sound of Music, right? They're on the mountain. Oh, you know, and they're just like, the wind blowing, you know, they just think everything's going to be wonderful. And then a Christian hurts them and they're like, oh, you know, I'm like, well, that's all right. I know, we are mean, but just Jesus isn't. And so there's a honeymoon with the Lord. There's no doubt about it. I love remembering just, I believed everything the Bible said when I was young. I wish I believed it just with that same zeal. I'd read something, I'd go do it. Somebody'd say, not really what it meant. But I tried. Don't you? I'd rather fail trying to honor the Lord than go like, well, no, I'm just not sure. Just serve the Lord, right? And there's a war, there's a battle. Be encouraged that every day. Ready for service? First thing the Lord might say, okay, kill your flesh. Mortify your flesh. You're going to live for you, you're going to live for me. And so we war, and then it's always this. Now this is the bummer. Look at verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now how is evil present with me? Because wherever I go, the flesh goes. You ever try to go without your flesh? Impossible. Right? So it's like this. I think I'm just going to go. I'm gonna take a break today, flesh. See you later. You can't do that. I would love to do that. I'm taking a vacation from my flesh. You know, if the Lord, you know, he didn't do this. So I shouldn't even suggest this, but I will anyway. But it is, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, Steve, you've been a believer for 40 years. You get 8 weeks without the flesh now. So sorry, Carl, you only get 2 weeks without the flesh because, you know, I've earned it. But no, I'm stuck with this flesh until he calls me home. And that's God's plan. You know why? God wants me to love him. Not because that's all I can do, but because I can walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. And God says, Steve, you want to honor me? Just love me. I'm a sledgehammer guy, right? I'm a sledgehammer. Well, I mean, with, you know, when I, you guys aren't, most of you aren't, you know. So, I mean, this is me, spiritually speaking. I just feel like busting a wall down sometimes. You know, I failed. I feel better. I'm not even saying that's biblical. But I, when Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" There's only one. Let me tell you this, hope. Hope is in Jesus Christ. You know, I just want you to know this. That's reality. Don't be discouraged tonight. There's the inward man. There's the flesh. There's the old man, the new man. And God's given us all we need. I'm just going to give you three things. This will be based on verse 25. Look at this, and I'm done. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God." That's a good thing. "But with the flesh the law of sin." So he says, with the mind, he says, Jesus Christ has given us our mind. And I want you to listen to this. Just, in fact, you're in Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'll hasten to a close. He says, "With the mind, I myself serve the law." So, you know what? You got to put the right things in your mind. Computers were designed after our brains. Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. And so Romans chapter 12 deals with the mind. He says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This isn't outrageous, this is just reasonable. "And be not conformed to this world." You don't want to be conformed to this world, because boy, there's a full court press. I mean, you talk about media impressions every day, they're not good. Subtle. "You deserve a break today." I'm not, you know, like, I wasn't like evil. But that kind of thinking just might make me lazy. And so he says this, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." I want to be transformed. That's into a completely different person. The old man, new man. Put on the new man, put off the old man. Some of our kids, you understand Transformers? You ever seen Transformers? It becomes a completely different thing, right? But it's kind of the same thing, right? But he's a different thing, but the same thing. That's biblical. So when you see Transformers, you go, I'm not sure. Whichever one the bad one is, that's the flesh. And if there's a good guy, that would be the good Transformer. That would, anyway. All right, so he says this in verse 2. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Bible talks about the washing of his word. We need to get his word in our minds. We need to wash our minds from the conformity with the world. And then just listen to this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. You know this verse. "Casting down imaginations." Bad thought comes to your head. Cast it down. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Everything that runs through this brain, will it honor Christ? No, cast it down. Will it honor Christ? No, cast it down. So it says here in verse 25, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God." I want to just tell you the second thing. I'm not going to re-preach it. We are dead to sin. That's what all of my messages were about in Romans chapter 6. We're dead to sin. Just be encouraged with that. Christian, you can just say no. Eric was just telling me, and I do, I miss Jack Fenner also. And Jack Fenner used to have this little thing he would say, "Just not now." That's biblical. You know, just resist now. Just not now. I know I'm not. And you, Christian, you can do that. We are dead to sin. I want you to know that's a great tool of God. He says we need to renew our mind, and those are with some of the things that may be bad habits that we need to renew our minds. We are dead to sin. And then finally, I just want to tell you this. He's given us a way to escape. Many of you have 1 Corinthians 10:13 memorized. I'll just read it just in case I butcher it. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." God is faithful, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." I want to tell you this. If this message discouraged you, and every day, every hour, all the time, you're in a battle. Your flesh never wants to do what's right. Your flesh is never going like, no. It's just, it's a battle. But I'm telling you this, you can have victory in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I am not... I worry, right? I may be losing it. I don't think I'm redundant when I preach. I could hear people. I would love to be a fly on the wall. He always says the same thing every single week, and he thinks he's giving us variety. It's like cooked spinach. And so I want you to know this. The key to victory over our flesh is Jesus Christ. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Renew that mind. Remember, we're dead to sin. And then also with this, when you're resisting the devil, and I mean, there may be longer battles, but normally God's so good, the devil's so impatient, you don't have to resist that long. When you're resisting the devil, it's sort of like this. Look for the way to escape. We had the Minster kids over, so I was just renewed in my love for Finding Nemo. So one of my favorite scenes in that, right, was when Dory, she's looking for the way to escape. And she looks at this hatch, and she goes, E-S-C-A-P-E, escape. You know, to me, I loved it, right? That was her way to escape, but poor thing couldn't read. And so it's not that difficult. But here's the thing. Do we not feel like we're being chased by a shark? You ever feel like that's kind of your battle with sin? Look for the escape. It's there. And if it's not there, God's not faithful. You know what God says? He is faithful. He's never been unfaithful. There'll always be an escape.